Hi. So the next talk will be by Julia, and she's going to talk about programming Rust 2 with Rust. Please give her a warm welcome.
Thank you, everyone. Welcome to the talk or the presentation about how to program Rust 2 with Rust. Maybe it's a bit different topic as we have seen in this dev room, but let's see. So, first of all, who am I? I'm a robotics consultant, and I've been working as a robotics software engineer for 5 years. I've been working in different or developing custom applications for different startups, but last year I was invited to the Robotics Developers Day organized by the Construct because about how to program Rust with Rust. It was a kind of new topic and not much people was talking about this, so that's also why I'm here. So first of all, what we're going to see. We're going to see, first of all, what is Rust 2. Maybe some of you are most Rust developers, not than robotics developers. So yes, we're going to see this, Rust 2. Why Rust 2 and for robotics? Why we are using Rust 2 for robotics? And also Rust now. We're going to see together how to make a publisher and a subscriber application. First, we're going to start with a publisher. Then we're going to get into the subscriber. And then we're going to see both publisher and subscriber in the same node, and then we're going to look through some conclusions together. So first of all, what is Rust 2? If you want to look here, you have a tag if you want to get familiar with Rust 2. Rust 2 it's the robotic operating system. It's a framework that mostly robotics like people use. It's an open source framework, and it's maintained by the Open Source Robotics Foundation, and also lots of institutes and people does and develops lots of code for this framework. So it has lots of different tools that you can use. It has visualization, perception, robot control. You can move servos. You can also get data from the sensors and look through your computer. And also it has hardware drivers. AI, machine learning, deep learning applications also has been developed to be also compatible with Rust 2. Also debugging, you can like save bugs and then retrieve them in the future if, for example, the robot has done something unexpectedly, so you can see it after. Also there is simulation. You don't need to have a real robot in order to be able to develop. You don't need to have a robot. So you can use simulation, so you can develop code without needed to have a robot, real robot. Also, there is computer vision, OpenCV is also integrated with Rust 2, motion planning, there you can do task planners and using your robots, and communication. There are different like protocols that has been developed to be used with Rust 2. So Rust 2 is based on the DDS, the Data Distribution System Middleware. And here in this talk, we are going to talk about the client. So until now, what mostly people were using is the Python and the C++ client. But now there is a possibility to be able to use Rust in order to develop application for robotics to Rust 2. So what's the basic about Rust 2? What is so different and so important? Rust 2 is based on topics. Topics are the channel where the service server gets or makes a response to the client. So in this case, for example, we can have a robotics arm that wants to close this specific gripper. So what you can do is sending a request. The client can send a request, please, I want to close the gripper. And then the robotics arm will close the gripper, and then it will, as a response, it will say, okay, it has been succeeded or not. So why Rust and Rust 2 for robotics? When I started working in robotics five years ago, I was an industrial engineer, so I didn't have a really good background in software. So as a software developer, you have to have a really good language that it gives you really good performance. It has to be really fast because robots has to go fast, and also you can may have a real-time application. Also, the safety has to be a safe system. Priorities are important. The flexibility to be able to run different threads and different applications at the same time. Reliability to be able to run the robot, and every time you run your robot, every time it should work. So now we have the capability to use Rust. It's like a language that has been developed working as a high performance. It's a low-level code, so it has more efficiency. Memory and type safety, because as it thinks about memory, we are like getting rid of sometimes memory leaks, and also it's a type safety. It has designed in order to think about type. So yeah, the concurrency, being able to like run different threads and as a concurrent way, and also the ownership thing that has been developed in Rust in order to know who gets the ownership. I think that's a good thing. And also, as we have talked about, fewer runtime crashes, it's a safer system. So this is the package. This is the repository that we're going to talk about. It's an open source repository. And you can see that there is different packages. We are going to focus on the RCLRS, that is the Rust client like package, or crate in this case. So here is the tag if you want to download and start working with this. Lots of people are contributing around. So this is the now. So you don't need to download the package itself or the repository, because the client has been released as a crate, so you can install it, and you don't need to download and compile. So here you can access to the crate itself, and it also contains a really good documentation. Okay, so you can go through this. So I think that when you are starting and when you're having a good documentation, it's easier for you. So what we are going to see now? Now we're going to see three different applications to use this specific Rust client in different like ways. This is our friend. This is the go-to from Unitree. This is going to be our server. This robot is going to provide us different topics that we are going to use in order to make our custom applications. So first, we're going to see the publisher. The publisher, what we're going to see in the publisher is how to send command bells to the robot, how to make the robot move around through this simulation. Then what we're going to see is the subscriber. We are going to get through this topic, the Beltline points topic, we are going to get the scan or the points for this specific LiDAR that this robot contains. And finally, as a third application, we are going to make, using both publisher and subscriber, getting the velocity and, publishing to the velocity and getting the positions from the sensor, we are going to make together an obstacle avoidance. So first, how to create a publisher? Normally, in Rust, what we have is a node. The node contains the application itself. So we are creating a new node that's going to contain the application. It's called CMD Bell Publisher. Okay. Then we're going to create the publisher, the topic, the channel, where we are going to send a specific velocity to the robot. The publisher, it calls CMD Bell, command bell. We're going to send commands to the robot. In order to publish to a topic, we need to fill or like we need a message. The message is like the message is gonna go through this topic, and it's how we are gonna publish and talk with the robot. So as it is a velocity, as we are command belling and we are sending velocity, we are gonna fill this specific message, and we are gonna send or change this velocity. So in this case, what we are doing is like changing the topic, the message, and we are changing the velocity doing a pendulum movement, because we don't want to lose the robot. We want to have the robot control, and we are going to make the robot move around, but doing a pendulum movement. So after we are like filling the message, then we're going to print by terminal a message. So that we are moving, for example, in linear, we are moving in this velocity, and angular, we are not going to rotate around, just moving in linear. So here we are publishing. Okay, we're going to make the robot publish and move around here. And this is the robot moving around. So we are commanding and sending via the topic CNDVL, the specific. And for each point that we have in the here, for each point that we have in the message, it means that you have this point to cloud. So it's at 2D, so lots of points is going around. So we are getting the data, and we are processing the data. So of each point, we are processing the x, y, and the angle where I have something around, have some points, so I could have an obstacle. In this specific application, what we are doing is just detecting if I have an object in one of the corners. So if I have one of the objects front, back, left, or right. This is a specific application, just getting the left one. So what I'm doing is, if I have an object less than one max distance, and this object is in this specific range, in this specific angle, it seems that I have an object in the left. So I am only printing around, and like in the terminal, I'm saying that I have a left object in my left. Okay, you can see here that there is more code that it's not being written right in here, but you can do the same in the left, right, front, and back. And then we are spinning because we are like wanted to get the callback. So this is the point. Here we are placing a box in different like corners in of the robot. And depending on the box is placed, here we have a different message in the terminal. The robot doesn't move because we are not commanding the robot. The robot is quiet. We are just hearing through the scan or Velodyne point topic. So, last application. So now we have seen how to hear and how to talk through topics. So we are going to use the same both topics in order to be able to talk with the robot. So here we have the same as before. So here what we have. This is a bit different as before. We are like implementing a specific like structures because more or less we are creating like class, but here in Rust we are creating structures. Sorry. So we are doing the same as before. We are gonna make a publisher. Okay, we are gonna create the publisher. And then we're going to make the subscriber, okay? Same as before. We have, like, this is the message that it's, like, we are, like, getting on each callback. And this is the same as before. On every, here we are, like, fitting the left corner. So if we have an object in the left corner, in this case, just in this case, what we are doing is filling the message from the velocity just to be able to the robot to move around if it has, for example, an object in the left. So this is this message. We are like feeling that it should move to the right and like in the angular velocity if we have an object in the left. So that's the point. Okay. So here is the node. We are creating a different node. Here is where we are publishing on each loop. We are publishing to the robot, and this is only change when. In each callback, if there is something, some like object around, if not, we may do. You can decide what you want, but you can go straight. Okay. So that's the point. Robot may collide here, but it just detects an object in the left, so it is gonna start moving around. So as a conclusion from this talk, why we should start using Rust in robotics application, it is because the memory and thread safety by default, it is implemented by default. Also, it's a high-level code without performance overhead, so it's like a must. Also, it's a type safety, and it contains a robust error handling. And it has an excellent performance, which is really good on real-time applications. But as I have seen, if you're going to start to use Rust and you are kind of new in software development, maybe the learning difficulty and the learning curve is steep. So maybe you could start using, for example, Python, depending on your application. The ecosystem immaturity, there aren't much people or much companies who are using Rust 2 with Rust now. So you may not have different packages where you can start like as a default. But maybe, and also the legacy integration, maybe you have some databases that are legacy, so it may be difficult to integrate with your current software. And then the compile time, if you, as C++, if you compile from scratch, you haven't done any pre-compile, it might be hard. So thank you for your attendance. If you want to look through the Rust 2 workshop, just to become more familiar about the technology and about to learn deeper how to make message from scratch and work with services, you can look through this. And this is my contact if you need anything from my side. So thank you. Hello. For another language, so you should know the message type always. You know, you can talk later about this, no problem.
If I understand it correctly, Rust 2 uses heavily also a lot of Python written stuff.
Yes.
And so there's Pyo 3, which allows you to do bindings to a Rust library so you can accelerate your Python code. And so would you say having the Rust 2 bindings for Rust is more complementary so that you can slowly progress over then, and finally then move your code from Python to Rust, or is it just a completely different approach to integrate Rust into Rust 2?
I might say depending on the application, depending on the resources that you have in your application. For example, you have resources and time and Rust. This is a really good question because it depends on how you are good on development. So you can develop a really good code in all of the languages, but by default, if you start working this specific package, it is there is only other packages that are working with Rust 2 client, but this specific package is how the other Rust, like C++ and Rust Python packages work. So that's the point of using this one. But if you have other applications using in Python and it's well maintained and its efficiency has been like go through, I would say you can start working with this package from scratch, from new applications, and you may still working in old and legacy code with other applications, depending on what you have currently have.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And if you have further questions, find Julia in the hallway.
Thank you so much, guys.